That's such an amazing intro. I'm hiring you as my new PR person.
Well, you know, hers is so loud compared to mine. Mine was monotone. Mine was very low key, and you about scared me to death, Cheryl, when you turned that intro on.
I'm sorry.
Well, very good. So we would like to welcome Debbie to the show. And as we told listeners earlier, we have listeners from around the world.
Awesome.
A lot of them are on the phone right now. They stay up in the middle of the night to listen to our show.
Yeah.
And so a lot of them are eager to talk to you a little bit later. But we're going to start out the interview by asking you a little bit about where you live and what are your hobbies and interests outside of being a makeup artist.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I had time for all of my hobbies and interests. Unfortunately, because I work so much, those have kind of gone by the wayside. But I live in Los Angeles, and I also have a place in New York. So I'm bi-coastal and try to go where the work is because I love working in New York. And I, you know, now with the work not being as prevalent in California, you have to be able to travel back and forth. So luckily I'm able to do that. And let's see, my hobbies and interests. I love painting. I love hanging out with my dogs and going hiking and hanging out with my friends. There, I have a lot of friends that are foodies that introduce me to a lot of new and, you know, different things that they see or read about. I love going to the movies. I'm a fanatic about, you know, films and filmmaking and just getting lost in that world of, you know, make-believe. So that's about it for right now.
Well, that's a lot. That's a
yeah.
lot. Now, did you always know you wanted to be a makeup artist, or did you have aspirations of doing something else as you were growing up?
Well, what's interesting about that, most of my friends, if you ask that question, who are makeup artists, they knew from a very young age. I truly fell into this by accident, and it was such a passion for me that I think I was lucky that I recognized it. I was a student at UCLA, and I took a makeup class and a theater makeup class, actually, and I enjoyed it so much. And I met, you know, some really great people that when I graduated from UCLA, I was asked to work on a movie that a friend of mine was making, a very low-budget movie. It was called Survival Quest, which I'm sure you can get in a video store, you know, if video stores even exist anymore.
They're going out, but probably Netflix
yeah.
or something.
But it was with Don Coscarelli, who is like a cult director. He directed a film called Phantasm. He wrote and directed that movie. And this was Don's, like, next film. And I worked on that in makeup, hair, and wardrobe and was actually more dressing everybody and then was watching and getting more interested in the makeup end of things. And I just had such an amazing experience on that film that I realized I really want to do this as a career. So I went to makeup school and learned how to do prosthetic makeup, and the rest is kind of,
history.
You know, history. Yeah.
And that was my next question. Did you attend makeup school? So where did you go for makeup school?
I did. I went to a school, unfortunately it no longer exists, but it was called the Institute of Studio Makeup that, funny enough, is, if it were still there, is not far from where I live now in Hollywood. So it was a really great introduction to filmmaking, and that way when I would walk on a set, I felt comfortable and I felt like I knew what I was doing. And before I even graduated from there, I started working at Roger Corman Studios, which was the most amazing, you know, school that you could go to, because that's where you really learned your craft. So he gave me, you know, I think I was there for almost 2 years, I think 14 or 15 months, and I probably did 10 to 12 movies within that period
wow.
of time. And you know, that's how you get really fast and good at what you do. And the people that I've started with, I still keep in contact with.
So he would be, this is my next question, so it kind of falls right in there. This school would be an inspiration for you becoming a makeup artist. So who else inspired you along the way to become, you know, to be a makeup artist or to learn more?
Well, what's interesting is when I graduated from makeup school and then went to Roger Corman, I was pretty much by myself. So when I left Roger Corman, I realized that, you know, there was so much more out there to learn. And growing up as a kid, you know, I used to watch, Land of the Lost.
Yes.
And, you know,
1960s.
Uh-huh.
All oh, my those, goodness.
We
yeah,
met that guy at a Hollywood
shows,
show. We
like
met
with
him.
Winnie Pooh and, you yeah. know, James and the Flute and, you know, all of those amazing shows. And little did I realize, but that was Michael Westmore who designed and created all of those. And
he had a
was,
school, too, doesn't he?
Well,
doesn't he have a school or his parents?
Brother Marvin.
Or yeah, okay.
His brother Marvin had the school. And when I met, I interviewed with Michael Westmore to work on Star Trek. I was called in for 3 days of cleanup on Next Generation. And I left 2.5 years later.
3 days ended up to it. You never know where your next job's going to come from.
Exactly.
And the dot to dot, what's going to happen down the line.
Exactly.
Well, what do you feel about your style that you have, that you've established for yourself, that sets you apart from other makeup artists when you go to get a job, say, like on Mad Men or Castle or whatever? What sets you apart from other makeup artists that put you in demand?
Well, you know? I think, I don't know if it's my style, but my approach to makeup, I think, is what gets me hired and rehired and, you know, keeps me, you know, in the world of doing makeup. I think the research that I do, especially like on Mad Men, and my precision, my eye, where I see things that I know based on my research, okay, this is the way a 1960s eye looks versus, you know, something that may not, you know, work with the research that I've found. So I'm very precise. I'm very specific in my research and in the makeups that I do, because for me, makeup tells a story, and I'm telling the story and I'm interpreting what the director and the writer and the actor all want to tell, and I tell that story through makeup.
So do you have a favorite look that you have created on an actor or on a character?
Oh, wow.
And who is that actor and character that you really think is, hey, this is my trademark look, that I created this character, say, on Star Trek or Mad Men? Because Mad Men's the 1960s, of course, when I was a kid, and you have to go from that look to Castle's look of the 2010 to Star Trek, which is space. So
yeah.
Is there any character that you actually created, the look that they didn't make you create, but you created yourself and they went with it? Who was that?
If my brain could think back that fast, I'm trying to think, because, you know, Michael designed everything. And even in Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, my other mentor and very dear friend, V. Neal, she designs everything. But because of the, you know, the artist that she chooses to do a specific character, and Michael as well, then the artist comes through. So, you know, we were given instructions of how to do, you know, a makeup, and then we would do it, and then, you know, it would kind of form from there. So I don't want to take credit for any of the things that, you know, I did while working under
someone
else.
Yes.
Yeah, because I mean that's, you know, the creativity right there that you have between two artists. So but, you know, over the years of my career, I've enjoyed quite a few things, and, you know, God, if I could think of something specifically right now, it would really help.
Well, maybe down the line as we get questions, you'll snap back to it. But
Trish Arquette allowed me the most freedom
of design on makeup.
Yeah, I've worked with her for 10 years, and I met her on a David Lynch movie, Lost Highway, and, David being an artist and Patricia being an artist, I think she probably allowed me the most freedom.
Well, this is perfect, because you're falling into my questions. And I was going to ask you, can you share with us some of the celebrities you have done makeup on, and can you tell us who you would like to do makeup on that you haven't worked with before?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. I should go to my website.
I have the names.
Yeah.
I have them right here, but
I
wanted you to tell me.
There's such a long list.
There is. It's amazing.
I've been very blessed and very fortunate to be able to work, with amazing, amazing actors. I don't even know who I could say specifically because...
tell you. Christina Applegate, David Arquette, Patricia Arquette, Christine Baranski, Elizabeth Moss, Drew Barrymore, Dermot Maloney, Bono, Laura Flynn Boyle, Leonard Nimoy, Shaquille O'Neal, LeVar Burton, Peter O'Toole, Michael Caine, Ozzy Osbourne, Kelly Clarkson, I'm just getting the main ones that I know, Elizabeth Perkins, the late David Carradine, Lou Diamond Phillips, Annie Potts, Bill Pullman, Kim Delaney, Molly Quinn, Carmen Electra, Stana Katic, Melissa Eldridge, Nathan Fillion, Jonathan Frakes, Tom Charette, Jimmy Smits, James Spader, Mel Gibson, Sarah Gilbert, Larry Hagman, Ringo Starr, Patrick Stewart, Daryl Hannah, Eric Stoltz, Quentin Tarantino, Dustin Hoffman, Robert Wagner, Mark Wahlberg, Don Johnson, Naomi Watts, Tamela Jones, Reese Witherspoon, Elizabeth Banks, Jude Law, and Lucy Liu, amongst many. Okay, Cheryl, I cut you off.
It's okay. I have an interesting question. I was reading that list that, of course, Pam just rattled off. What's the difference between a personal makeup artist versus a key makeup artist? I know you're either the department head and you're over all of the makeup people, or what do they mean by key makeup artist? I honestly don't
know. In the non-union world versus the union world, that's how they distinguished the different levels of who was in charge. So in the non-union world, it was the key makeup was actually the head. And then she would have what's called either a first assistant or, a second or, that's how they distinguished, who was the head of everything and then who, was the support staff. Then when you get to the union world, they changed the categories. And so now... the person who's in charge is actually called a department head.
I see.
And the second is actually the assistant department head or the key.
I see. Thank you.
So it got a little confusing when you switch from one to the other. So, and then personal, like for me, I can be the personal and a department head at the same time. But most of the time, at least these days now, when you're a personal, you just do the one actor that you're assigned to.
So you don't get double pay, you just get double work.
Well, yeah.
You get the title.
Welcome to the recession.
She gets to add that to her resume. That's the resume.
Yes,
that's
yes, and what a resume. So which area of media do you really prefer, television or film, or does it matter to you?
Well, I started in film. My passion does lie in film, but I realized along when, actors of great caliber like Glenn Close and all these people started looking at Patricia Arquette, started looking at doing television, I was sitting with Patricia and Molly, her manager, and I remember specifically Molly saying, Debbie, television is where it's at because, you get into people's homes immediately. And I want to provide entertainment. I want to provide, and tell a story. And if that's where it needed to be, then okay. So I opened up my eyes and started going back and forth from film to television to film to television. And I've been lucky in that respect that I've been able to do both.
Was there a past project that you said to yourself while you're working on it, yeah, I think I got this now. I got this down. Was it early on in your career, or has it been in the last, I'd say, 10 years that you kind of said, you know, I could do this anywhere on any project?
Well, oh, wow, that's an interesting question. I think if you ever get truly comfortable in this world of what we do, you need to be careful, because this business is always changing. And if you get too comfortable, it means you're not learning anymore, to me. I'm constantly learning and growing and challenging myself.
Good. That's
so
good.
In one respect, I feel very comfortable with who I am and the fact that I have made a living at being a makeup artist for 25 years. But at the same time, you can never take anything for granted.
So in saying that, since you did mention the word challenging project, what do you think has been the most challenging project of your career this far? Most challenging that you just said, man, I wish I wouldn't have took this, or I'm so glad I did because it's challenged me.
Wow.
Over 25
I look at
years.
Challenges in different ways. I look at challenges first from makeup perspective, and then I look at challenges as far as an actor or a character, and then also the director or, you know, the other people that I'm working with. So on a daily basis, you have to navigate through, you know, what potentially can be a difficult day. You know, we work anywhere between 12, 14, 18 hours a day. You can be working in difficult conditions, you know, be it weather, like, you know, 30 degrees below zero, or, you know, the humidity of a hot summer. You know, I think I've been very lucky where I've taken projects that speak to me, but in the same respect, there have been days when I go, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, but that's just because it, regardless of what it is, it's tough. It's really tough. And then when you get through it, you go, you know what? I did it, and I'm a stronger person for it.
And you don't have much of a personal life if you don't even get hardly weekends off.
Yeah, it's been a little tough recently. I do have to admit that. I was just talking to somebody about that today. So I'm like, I think the next day off I have will be the beginning of May.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, looking back over your career, what has been your favorite project, or do you have one? There's just too many to point out, or do you have one that you just said, I'm so glad I took that project? It's my favorite.
Wow. I have a few of those, actually. Lost Highway was a great
early
experience
on.
For me early on, working with David Lynch. Kill Bill was an amazing experience working for Quentin, because his passion is beyond, and he pushes you as an artist to become a better artist. I Heart Huckabees was one of my favorite projects that I had done, and also Stigmata. That was, I loved that project because it was like it was just a beautiful visual experience. And then Mad Men, of course. You know, just the work that I got to do on that, I really felt people connected with that, and I got some of the most beautiful emails and letters from fans.
Incredible
saying,
what you did.
Thank you. You know, and I'm very proud of that. And I'm also very proud of Castle. I think, I don't think Andrew realized what he had created that first season and saw the potential in all of us and where he wanted to take the show. And now I think I set the bar pretty high, and people responded to that.
Definitely, definitely. What are some of your favorite products that you use in your makeup bag?
Gosh.
big makeup bag or a little
one? Yeah, it's pretty big. I don't travel light, I do have to say. I'm a huge fan of Creme de la Mer. I use that quite a bit on my actors and actresses. I also use Kate Somerville. For skincare, both of those, I have a lot sitting on my station. And then as far as makeup products, I use quite a bit of Makeup Forever. I use Laura Mercier, Bobbi Brown, Armani, Chanel, Dior.
Well, what do you do differently for men versus women, either personally as they're, you know, if they go to an event or they are on screen in a film or television? Do you have to do something different for men versus women? I always wondered about that.
Well, the one thing with men is that they need grooming and they need makeup, but you're not supposed to see it.
Ah,
okay. Now, you can get away with, you know, knowing you're when you see a woman with makeup on, your eye is comfortable with that and it accepts that and kind of moves on. Where if you see a man with makeup on, it's a little, you know, you kind of stop dead in your tracks and you kind of go, wait a minute. So the key with a man's makeup is, A, skincare and making sure that, you know, they're using the right shaving products and they have either a clean shave, or if they are not supposed to have a clean shave, that their skin, you know, is taken care of regardless. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you want to give them, you know, a little makeup and correction to, you know, help with under eyes if they've, you know, had a long day, or, you know, just make them look healthy. And especially now with HD, because you can see everything.
The high definition, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Every pimple, every mole, every...
Exactly.
And, you know, with Nathan, he's ruggedly handsome, you know.
Yes, he is.
Just cheating. So you got to make him look perfect for all the Castle fans out there. So what makeup products would you never be left without on a set that's always got to be with you when you were doing makeup for Mad Men or Castle, or what were you never without that you just had to always have ordered special, has to be there?
Let's see. Okay, Benefit has an under-eye powder called Powder Flage.
Okay.
Which, if you're having a long day and you've got some under-eye circles, if you put a little of that on, it gives you a really nice, kind of a kick under your eye so that you don't look so tired. Lancôme has a lovely powder called Dual Finish.
Ah.
And I never leave home without that. Let me see. Makeup Forever has a primer that I use on everyone, male and female, because it allows the makeup to last longer. Let's see what else. I'm going through my kit here.
Like your three coveted makeup products.
Yeah. But I have to say the Creme de la Mer, the day cream. I never leave home without that either. And the lip balm is amazing. And the sunblock. A lot of people forget we've had the hottest summer winter on record.
Right.
And I put sunblock on everybody. And this Kate Somerville 55 sunblock I love.
Did you send her our questions, Pam? Because she just went right
into them. No, she falls into them. That's what's so funny. Yeah,
okay.
I know you have a pirate's question. You're dying to ask her. Go for it.
Love Pirates of the Caribbean films. And the ship, you know, of course it does a flip and all the actors are in the water or they're still wet or they have the effects of the sun, the wind, the sand. Of course, there's lots of water everywhere. What do you do for makeup for scenes in those kind of situations or scenes when the actor is completely wet or they have to have, you know, they have to look moist, but then you don't want them to look, you know, that to me has to be the most difficult thing is having a fully wet actor. And I'm sure they have makeup specifically for wet scenes, but that's got to be hard to try to make them look wetter than what they really are. I don't know.
Well, it's a fine line. I mean, we had that on Pirates of the Caribbean, and I just had it on Blue Lagoon, the remake of the Blue Lagoon, which I just finished.
Yeah.
And they were wet all the time. And, you know, on Pirates of the Caribbean, they were wet quite a bit. And, you know, we have products that are waterproof that we use, you know, mascaras, and we have a product that was created by a makeup artist. It's called Illustrator, and it's alcohol activated, but it stays on in water really well. And that's part of like the dirt look that when one of the pirates would look dirty, that was what the product that we used. There's also things like sealers or makeup fixers that you can spray once your makeup is done, and it helps seals it and helps to keep it, I would say, more water resistant as opposed to waterproof, but you know, water resistant is better than nothing.
So then now, there's more work taking it off at the end of the day.
There can be, yes.
I can't get this off. Okay.
Yeah, speaking. Exactly. Sometimes we put it on and we all look at each other and we go, how do we get this off? And we figure it out when, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when the time comes.
You were talking about Blue Lagoon. Now, did you make that over in Hawaii? And who stars in that? Can you tell
us
a little bit about it?
We did it here and in Hawaii. It's for Lifetime and Sony.
Oh, cool.
And it stars two beautifully, oh, my God, they're gorgeous kids from, I call them kids, they're in their mid-20s, from Australia, Brenton Thwaites and Indiana Evans. And we did it here and in Maui, and
oh, Maui!
Yeah, it was the
one of the hardest
projects I've worked on in quite a while. I think my muscles are still sore, but I did that with Salvador Perez, who was the original costume designer on Castle, and we had a great time.
Hi,
we had,
Sal.
You know, try and make the fun. And you know, they're back here now, and I guess we're supposed to do reshoots at some point this week or next week.
And so when will that be released on? Is that television?
I believe they said it's on Lifetime, and then I think they must have some kind of foreign release that it may be in theaters foreign, if I remember hearing correctly. But I think it's supposed to be in May that it airs.
Oh, so it'd be for May Sweeps. And then you're doing Some Girls? Is that what
I'm doing a movie now called Some Girls. I literally got home, last Wednesday, and I started prepping Some Girls on Thursday. And coincidentally, Some Girls is a project that Andrew Carlberg, who is Lori Zaks's assistant, or was assistant for years, he just left to basically throw himself in full time into producing his own projects. And Andrew and I had talked about this project a while ago and some of the other ones that he also has, and it happened to come up now, and it stars Adam Brody and Emily Watson, Mia Maestro, and Kristen Bell, and Zoe Kazan.
My goodness.
Wasn't Kristen Bell just on Castle? Or maybe that was Chris Bell. I'm not sure. But so
I don't think Kristen was.
No,
I'm thinking of another Bell. I know they just had an actress with the last name Bell on the show that was soap operas. I can't remember. But so is Sal going to be working, Salvador, on that one, or he's not on that one with you?
No, he's not on this one because he was still finishing up Blue Lagoon. So it was, I think, a little more difficult for him to cross over.
Pull out,
But it's funny because I needed to get in touch with Kristen Bell, and I called Sal and asked him to please get in touch with her because Sal worked with her on, what was that show in San Diego that they did? I can't remember.
Veronica's Closet?
Veronica's
something, is it?
Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm blanking on
this. We have to look at his resume. Cheryl.
Someone will, I'm sure, pipe in. One of your callers will remember.
Yeah.
But it basically was what Kristen did for years with Sal, and that, I think, put her on the map. That was a very popular show. And so it's funny how it's all 6 degrees of separation, because the director of Some Girls was also a director on Mad Men.
Oh, so you're meeting up with everybody.
I mean, this project is a labor of love for all of us. So.
Well, here's a challenge for you, because I do not wear makeup.
Oh, boy.
I have never worn – my sisters, I have three older sisters that have always tried to get me to wear makeup, but I'm so allergic to everything. Soaps, perfumes. I have rosacea, get that red neck, red face. So what non-allergenic products are out there in makeup lines that you would say for somebody like me who's never worn anything but lipstick, a little bit of rouge – would go for? And do you have anybody that you've ever worked with that was highly allergic or had rosacea that you couldn't do something with?
All the time. Rosacea is more popular now, I think, than, you know, it ever has been. It's more, you know, prevalent. I had another movie that I did with Sal Perez called Pitch Perfect for Universal.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yep.
I had three kids in that had rosacea. And I have to tell you, Clinique saved my butt on that, because they have a whole line. It's a redness line. And they have these fabulous creams that are specifically for rosacea. And they have a redness powder that I would put on first and then put makeup on. And I swear, it helped tremendously.
Kristen.
So I tell the girls at Clinique all the time how much I appreciate, you know.
Well, with rosacea, it's from heat, spicy foods, hormones, you know, all that kind of stuff. Upset, if you're upset, tired. Sure. And so a lot of people, you know, are stressed out a lot more than they used to be, I guess. So maybe that's why we have more rosacea. Cheryl, what were you going to say, who she was, what she worked on?
Veronica Mars, 2004.
Veronica Mars.
I was close. Yep. I said Veronica's Closet.
Veronica's Closet.
Get out of the closet, Pam.
Well, wasn't there one with Kirstie Alley, and then there was a different one with somebody else that was, they were close. There was a Veronica's Closet, and there was a Veronica's Mars.
Yeah,
and that's
Veronica
where Andrew
Mars
Marlowe was
the show
on.
With Sal. Yeah.
And Alfred Soul.
And Alfred Soul, right.
We've had Alfred on here and Claire.
Right.
And I think Terry Miller, Andrew's wife, had something to do with Veronica's Mars, or maybe it was Andrew or somewhere. They all were somewhere.
See,
now
there's
some connection.
No.
Yeah, there's some connections that I know.
Yeah.
You'd have to look. But, you know, you have actors who go out in the wind, you know, and they're out, like even with Castle, they go out on the streets and films, Donna, Nathan, Tamala, everybody, and they get... When I was actually down in Hidden Hills one day, and there was this windstorm, and my lips got burnt so fast and chapped so fast in my face. And I was wondering, when they're out there filming a lot of their murder scenes and all that, what do you use on the actors to keep them from getting the burnt lips, that kind of burning sensation and stuff on their lip gloss?
When you're dealing with a situation like that, which, again, I just had to deal with in Maui,
right.
You need to make sure that you have, you know, lip protection that has a sun protection factor in it. You know, I do not let an actor out of my chair without putting sunblock on them.
Cool.
So.
And what do you use, 15, 30, 45?
I usually use an oil-free 30 on their faces. I will also put it on their hands. And the back of their neck and their ears and, you know, places that people usually forget. I have gone all the way up to a 70.
Wow.
But anything beyond that, you have to be really careful because it has more zinc in it, and zinc will show up on film more because it's white. So, you know, you do have to know chemicals and what you can hide and what is going to show up on HD.
So HD is causing some actors a lot of problems, and other people really love it, and other actors just hate it. They hate how they look on it, and what they're, and the makeup. Is it really hard with the coloring and everything now to get your makeup lines to work with HD? Is it a challenge?
I've been very blessed in having relationships with companies, and they're creating more and more products for HD specifically. I also teach classes for Makeup Forever about doing makeup for HD and creating characters and things like that. And so I'm able to kind of bridge those gaps, you know, between the makeup companies and what I do.
So where do you teach these classes? Are these classes that you do in Los Angeles, New York, both places, at colleges, at home, at a studio?
I teach them both in L.A. and New York.
you'll have to let us know and put it out there and tweet it and everything. Now, go ahead.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
Nothing. I'm good.
I was just going to ask you, you talk about Lancome. Do they have a good mascara line for the Lancome products?
Oh, people love Lancome mascaras. They really do. And because L'Oreal, is the parent company of Lancome, or vice versa, one of those, the L'Oreal mascaras are basically the same formula as the Lancome mascara, except the brushes are different.
Oh.
So, if there's someone out there that, can't find a Lancome counter or can't afford a Lancome mascara, the L'Oreal mascaras that you can get, like at CVS or, Target or Walmart, are, almost just as good.
Okay, so here's a question that I've always wondered about, and this is probably really stupid, so you can tell me if it's stupid. Should the color of makeup you wear match the color of clothing you wear, or does it matter? I just always wonder, do people do that? Do they match up their eyeliner with their blouse or whatnot?
I mean, I think in I would have to say, like, the 70s and 80s, it was those rules of, don't wear white shoes after Labor Day, and, the bag has to match the belt and the shoes and things like that. But I think now in the modern day, it needs to look a little more effortless, and you don't want to be so matchy-matchy all the time. I always tell people that you want to have a signature. There's something about you that's a signature. So whether it's a certain color that you love to wear all the time, or if it's like a red lipstick, you want to have something that people notice about you that's kind of your signature. And it can be makeup, or it can be wardrobe, or it can be, a pink streak in your hair. It's just something that says something different about you.
I got to get one of those. No, I'm just kidding.
I've always wondered, what do you do between takes? Do you watch the scene, or you just listen to it, or are you already thinking about your setup for the next scene? And how early before they go out there do you have to have – how much time do you need? I mean, I always wondered what you do between the different
–
yeah.
Well, usually because television moves so fast,
mm-hmm.
I'm the type of person where I like to do my makeups in the trailer, but I also like to make sure I'm out on set so that what I did in the trailer looks correct. And if I need to change anything, I'm there to do it. And then, depending on the schedule of the day, if there's more people coming in, either I have to leave set, have somebody cover, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
I usually have meetings during the day, like especially on Castle. I would meet with the next director or the next writer so that I could prepare for, the next, as we call it, dead body du jour. And it usually was quite a bit of prep time that I needed. So I was, kind of everywhere all day. But with that cast and crew, I wanted to be on set because we would have so much fun, and I didn't want to miss anything, because – there was always something to laugh about.
I did see your YouTube video. It was very good. I'll be back.
Castle, she just ran right back into you've got our questions down. No. Speaking of Castle, before we bring on some of our callers, because they're anxious to talk to you before we end the interview, we wanted to touch on Castle, of course, because of Castle Talk Radio, it's Donna Talk Radio. How did you hear about the job on Castle, and how did being hired come about?
Well, wow, funny enough you would ask this question. I get hired by so many different ways. It's kind of amazing these days. I've been hired, by word of mouth, by a location manager or a producer or a director or an actor. And in television you have there's a producer that's specifically called a showrunner. And we had a showrunner on the first season of Castle that helped, Andrew and he were together and they were the ones that decided, who they wanted to crew up with along with Howard, who was the line producer, and I believe Howard brought Sal on, and I was brought in by the showrunner, and I just happened to be finishing, or it happened to just finish Mad Men, and I believe Lori Zaks recognized my name from Mad Men, but then Lori and I figured out we had worked together 20 years prior on a show for Comedy Central. So it, you know, it was one of those crazy situations where I think all the planets aligned, and I knew who Nathan was and was a big fan, but of course, you know, couldn't let him know that at the time. And
had to be cool.
I had to be cool. Yeah. And so it was just kind of a, you know, it just kind of worked out. I went for an interview and all of the producers were there, and it was a little overwhelming at first because I had no idea what I was walking into, but once I got there, I felt very comfortable with all of them, and I think they obviously felt comfortable with me and gave me the job.
Now, we talked off radio in the little private room before we brought you on, when you started on the show, what episodes you left, and that you were the head department, so you did the hair for everybody on the show, and then you had a team underneath you that worked on people, and then you brought in Sarah Vaughn, and who is now Stana's personal hair. Can you tell us when you started on the show, from what episode, and about when you left the show and where you went after that?
Well, sure. First of all, Sarah does Stana's makeup, as I do.
Oh, I said hair, didn't I?
Yeah.
I meant makeup. Edmund does her hair, Edmund
That's
Morrison.
Okay.
Edward.
Yeah, Edward, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, makeup.
That's okay.
Okay.
People do get us confused all the time, so please,
I meant
you know,
makeup,
You're no different than 99% of the people I work with. I was brought in after they did the pilot in New York, and we actually ended up having to reshoot half of the pilot, which is normal. When a pilot is done and sold, there's usually some tweaking that they want to do, or rewrite a scene, or, you know, try and tighten things up and bridge things differently. And so we ended up doing that. And the first season was only 13 episodes, I believe.
10, yeah, 10.
Was it 10?
Yeah,
so 10. Plus the pilot, so it was 11.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or 10
and then,
altogether. 10
yeah.
altogether.
And then
10,
I 10. Went back for the second season, which was a full 24.
Right, yeah.
And then I went back for the third season and then ended up retiring at Christmas.
So you went through probably Knockdown. Knockdown,
yeah.
I think, yeah, somewhere around there. So, and then you went to movies?
Yes. I'm trying to think what I did.
And you were and you had 2 Emmy nominations there. Because I know what was your favorite episode to do hair and makeup on for cast? I mean, makeup. There I go with the hair. Hair and makeup,
yeah.
Hair.
Yeah.
But for makeup, what was your favorite one?
Vampire Weekend, the episode that Terry wrote. You know, that to me was so special. And just knowing that she had written it, and, you know, I just love Terry and Andrew and all the writers. They used to make fun of me because they would watch me read a script and I would go through it, and as soon as I would see, you know, either a dead body or you know, something prosthetic, or I'd get all excited and they would just laugh at me. And I think that helped inspire them, because they knew they could write anything and I'd figure out a way to do it.
Well, did you watch Castle then, and do you watch Castle now?
I watched Castle as much as I could. My DVR has all of them, and I try and catch up when I can. But it's funny, because since I knew that I was going to do this interview, I purposely didn't watch any yet, because I didn't want to spoil the things that I know. So, because there's a lot that's really exciting that I think all your viewers are going to really like, but because I'm not there, I'm so jealous, because I'm so excited of the work that they get to do, but I don't want to spoil it, because it's pretty awesome.
Well, you told us off the radio again that you keep in touch with everybody, still pretty much everybody out there and stuff from time to time, and meet up with them and everything. So after this, we want to open the lines to the fans out there so they can talk to you, the listeners, because a lot of them are excited. Are you ready to take some questions?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
sure.
Cheryl, we have 12 minutes before we go into the third hour and go off the live air into archives. Just in case callers have a question for Debbie, you better get online now. We have 50 open phone lines, 347-857-4368, and she can take a few calls.
I have about 12 open phone lines.
Okay.
A lot of people want to talk to you. Now, I did want to ask Vanessa, who's in Paris, France. She's on via Skype and listening live, but she will get cut off here in a few minutes.
Yeah,
she's
3 a.m.
She can't call in because her parents are sleeping.
Well, also, Debbie, are you okay with time? Are you all right before we?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm fine. I'm waiting for Andrew to call me because I may have to go back to set. So
okay, so we have to,
I'm good right now.
All right, here we go.
Her one question in France, and this is Vanessa, she's listening. How do you find inspiration to create blood stains and dead bodies in a realistic way? What do you, who do you work with to help you to create those certain looks on victims?
Well, I wish I could say that I worked with, forensic, people, but I have to say that a lot of this comes in a crazy way. It kind of comes instinctually. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of research books, and I've gone and seen cadavers, and so I have some pretty strong images that I work off of.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have to make sure that I'm geared, depending on the show that I'm doing, especially like with Castle, because it's on at 10 o'clock, but sometimes it's on at 9 o'clock in other cities. I have to abide by the rules of standards and practices. So I know what I can get away with and what I can't when, creating something. If it's a David Lynch movie, that's a whole nother, that's a whole nother level. Yeah.
Realm.
Yeah. But for television, you do have standards and practices that you have to abide by, and they have very strict rules of what you're allowed to show between certain hours.
I see.
By the way, Cheryl, Vanessa, happy birthday tomorrow or today, since you're 9 hours ahead of us. Happy birthday, Vanessa in France, that was just asking
birthday.
This question. It's her birthday today, April 11th, actually.
Now joining us is Angie from Mexico City. Hi, Angie. Welcome back to the show. And what's your question for Debbie?
Hello,
hi.
Debbie. Well, first of all, Castle and Star Trek, wow, already my friend. Okay, and here's my question. By the time these final episodes are being filmed, the actors are pretty tired due to their grueling schedules. What do you find more demanding?
You know demanding? That well.
The day-to-day makeup that erases the signs of tiredness, or a themed episode like the zombies one? And I do know you love your zombies.
You do know I love my zombies.
Zombies. They're doing a zombie one for episode 22.
So you already knew about that.
Yeah, the zombie one is already, pictures are out today of all the, people go to filming. They go out on the streets and they report back to Twitter and Facebook that they saw filming. We know about the zombie one.
I thought
pictures.
I was protecting them.
No, the pictures are out there, Shauna, Nathan, and everybody, and the zombie people.
Can I just tell you how jealous I was?
I'm jealous.
I cannot believe they did a zombie episode.
Without you.
I know.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I totally missed the question that she was asking me.
I did too. What is it? Angie?
Okay, I just wanted to know if she finds more demanding the day-to-day makeup that erases the sign of tiredness or a themed episode like the zombies one.
Wow, that's a very, that's a really, really excellent question.
Get an A.
Yeah, she does. I would have to say both. Zombies, I love doing zombies and you can have fun with them, and you can, you can really go to town. But then when you have an actor that comes in that, has had a really long week and, really needs to look refreshed, that can also be as big a challenge. So I would have to say both are equally challenging yet satisfying when you've achieved them.
I guess.
Well, you know what? We just did a spoiler because, you know, some of our callers do not like spoilers. So we just did a big one with the zombies. We are so sorry. We usually
okay,
say spoilers.
Okay, you said it. I
didn't. Call Debbie Salt, everybody
Pam
out there. Call
Salt.
Debbie at 1-800. No.
I'm spoiler-free, and I already knew about it. So
okay, because I was being good, and in case Andrew and Terry
it.
Are listening, I'm not the one that's going to get in trouble.
You guys,
that's
it's
right.
all Debbie's fault.
Pam.
No,
Pam.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Cheryl.
Well, thank you, Angie. And
oh, Cheryl, you're like a school marm.
That's
old school marm. Now, girls.
It was Pam. I'll stand up for you, Debbie. Okay, next
okay.
we have Maureen from New York.
New York?
Maureen,
Debbie?
Are you there?
Yes. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hi, Debbie. I'm from New York, so I was kind of glad to hear that you get to spend some time in the Big Apple.
Yes.
But my question, getting back to hair and makeup and confusing you guys, is
hair.
What is basically the order of everything? Do the actors go and get their hair done first and then makeup? And basically, how much time are you allotted to do their makeup before they have to get on set?
Well, you know, it's kind of a dance, to be quite honest with you. When you have an ensemble cast, you've got to balance it out, you know, between, you know, not only makeup and hair, but they also have to get their wardrobe on. And depending on the needs of the wardrobe, like let's say they're in a bikini or something, and then they have to come back and have not only their face makeup done and their hair done, but now they have to have body makeup done. So, you know, I work with the assistant directors, and we figure out how much time we need, and we kind of try and work backwards. So if they have to be on set, let's say Nathan and Stana would have to be on set, you know, at a certain time, say like, 7
a.m.
Yeah. I mean, usually like on a Monday, our call time is probably 5 a.m. because, you know, if we've got a few people we have to get ready, we really can't take more than an hour and a half, 2 hours at the max.
Wow.
And because on television, you know, they go so quick. And sometimes you have to double team, meaning, you know, I'm putting makeup on at the same time a hairdresser is, you know, trying to curl their hair. So it's truly a dance between the departments and a juggling act. And you hope that you can, you know, make the hands of time stand still because you don't want to get yelled at.
And then you don't want to mess up the hair or the makeup either,
right,
when they're putting their costumes on and then they want to eat and they're trying to listen to their music and their cell phones. And
very true. All of the above. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And usually if they
they're bored.
They eat in the hair chair. So
they eat in the hair chair.
We try and get their food to them while they're eating, while they're getting their hair done, because the hairdresser is behind them and not, you know, working on their face. And, you know, and then if they have to get in wardrobe, the wardrobe department, sometimes like the costume designer, doesn't want them sitting in their clothes for an hour and a half because then they'll wrinkle. So, you know, I always check with the designer, what are they wearing, what am I doing, so that way I kind of have a game plan in the morning.
That's pretty smart. Well, thank you, Maureen.
Now,
thank
Cheryl,
you.
We're going to go off air in 4 minutes, so a lot of you will have to pick up the interview in archives after the show goes off the air, just to let you know, because you'll go dead silent in 4 minutes.
But we'll still be here. Don't worry.
Yes, we'll still
Debbie.
Here. And if
Debbie.
You're online, if you're on
oh,
the
okay.
phone, you'll still be
in
able to hear.
Next up, we have Kate, who we were talking about earlier. Hello, Kate. Welcome to the show.
Hi,
you were
Kate.
Talking about me? Hi, guys.
Yes.
We were telling Debbie that you're a regular that calls in and makeup artist there in New York City.
Well, no, I'm wardrobe right now in New York City.
Oh, wardrobe now. Okay, we switch. See?
We
Pam,
have
Pam, Pam.
All confess.
She is a makeup artist, though, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
See?
But
Cheryl.
Very eagerly awaiting switching back to being makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, I do makeup mainly for student productions or on indie thing, and I haven't gone to school, and I was just wondering what you think if you think it's more important to have gone to school, or if I could learn everything that I need by assisting and on my own.
I would have said 20 years ago, if you asked me that question, that you could probably find a mentor and learn without going to school. But now, there's no way, because these kids are being pumped out of these schools, you know, and they're getting a great education. And the only reason why I know that is because I'm one of the instructors. So, you know, not to toot my own horn, but you need to be able to keep up, and you need to be able to have that leg up, and especially with prosthetics, if you want to get into that area, you know, you have to learn the chemicals, and you have to learn how to make them in order to know how to apply them. So.
Right.
I would definitely say if you can go to school, you know, some of the schools are credited so that you can have scholarships and things like that. So I would definitely steer you in that direction.
Are there internships there in makeup, or could she find a good school in New York that you know of?
Well, Makeup Forever has a school there. I think Joe Blasco even has a school in New York.
I know he has one in Hollywood and in Florida, but I haven't been.
Yeah, maybe he hasn't opened up, or he was going to, and then he didn't.
The economy.
MUD is also, it's called Makeup Designery.
Oh, thank you. I'm like, what?
That's MUD on.
Yeah. MUD is also a phenomenal school that they have one here in Burbank, and they also have one in New York that I have, you know, in fact, a lot of the people that I hire have come out of there. But the Makeup Forever schools, I'm really excited about, because it's very current, especially in New York with all the print work and the indie movies that are coming, because the work there is just booming. So I think you have a lot of options there that, you know, you wouldn't have had maybe 10 years ago.
Mm. And there's a lot of fashion school design places right here in New York City to get involved with that, fashion, makeup, hair, do the whole, find the one you like
really,
the best.
It's good because, I mean, for me, like, I started out actually, you know, in wardrobe prior to doing makeup. So, but you want a complete picture. So you want to kind of know a little bit about hair. You want to know makeup. You want to know wardrobe, because that gives you kind of a complete look and a complete vision.
There you go, Kate.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You have your mentor now. Her name
is And I know you were excited that she's coming on. We kept it such a surprise for people because we wanted to surprise everyone. So it was perfect that you were off tonight because you've been working those night shifts.
Yeah. So glad
enough
for you. An overnighter.
Well, thank you, Kate. Okay. Why don't we take one more, Pam, and then you can do your quick ground questions here. This is Brenda from Missouri. Hello, Brenda.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
Hi.
You're welcome.
Sorry. I was just wondering if there was any specific episode or scene that kind of made you wonder about almost like creeped you out or anything when you did it.
That made me wonder what?
That made you wonder how you were going to do it, kind of made you really have to put some thought into the scene or anything?
If I understand your question correctly, there was an episode where the guy was frozen with, it was one of those food.
Food to Die For.
Yeah.
Season 2. Yeah.
Season 2, Food to Die For. I, not being a foodie, but hang out with foodies, had to call one of my friends and say, okay, what is this? And I had to really kind of understand the whole process of the freezing and how it works with food. And then a dear, dear friend of mine who is an incredibly talented makeup artist, his name is Steve Prouty. He worked with me, and we, you know, with his brilliant mind, he helped create these hands that once we put them together, it was a solid hand, and then when the director, you know, wanted, the fingers would fall off.
Wow.
And then they had to
the
land
ring.
On the floor
yeah.
in a specific way. And that episode, I think my mouth was on the floor the entire time because I'm like, I don't know. This is a little bit beyond where I've ever been, but of course, I'm going to push myself, and with Steve's help, man, we did it.
Thanks, Brenda.
Okay. Thank you for
taking
that call.
That was another Terry Miller written episode,
yes.
Food to Die
yes.
For, and that was the one where they talk about Beckett
Sorry,
and
Brenda.
Castle having little Castle babies. All the shippers out there, all the fans want Nathan and Stana's characters together.
You
so
know,
that was a fun episode.
That whole first season, that whole first season of Castle, the bar was so high for
mm-hmm.
all the victims that you guys had. I mean, bags over the head, the frozen woman, the
yeah.
woman
yeah.
in the safe.
She'll go
that
through her veins.
How did you see that woman in the safe? That was incredible.
Yeah, the woman in
that
the safe.
That was amazing. And we kind of had to shoot that a couple of different times because we never quite had the vision, I think, that Rob wanted. And so Rob finally came in and said, you know, I want to do this. So we had an amazing contortionist. Her name is Bonnie Morgan, who actually worked with me on a numerous project. She was Samara in The Ring, in The Ring 2.
Really?
And, God, I've worked with her so many times, and she came in and we twisted her up into that safe.
Well, what about with Flowers for Your Grave, with all the flowers on the face of that woman, the dead, the pilot?
Yeah.
The woman with the flowers. And then how about the Saran wrap guy with the plastic on his head
in
the car at the end of the season,
that,
you know,
yeah.
the doctor.
Was that hot outside? Yeah. Was that hot outside where you were doing
it? It was incredibly hot, and I felt I felt for him.
They said he had anxiety attacks.
I don't blame him.
Doing that in the car with that plastic over.
I don't blame him either. But I had Joel Harlow on that because I remember we were shooting that and it was two units. So I was on one unit and then Joel went with him and did that. And there were a couple other people there, too. I can't think of who it was. But Joel, I've worked with for years as well, and he's also now Johnny's makeup artist on and is doing all of his projects.
Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so to end the – because we're already over an hour for you, and it's been
okay.
a wonderful interview, and we've had the calls. And I just wanted to say I read somewhere that you tried to get Nathan Fillion on Saturday Night Live. Is that true?
That is, we...
What happened?
The first season,
uh-huh.
I don't know how it came about, but I've always been such a fan of Saturday Night Live, and, you know, Nathan has just the funniest, like...
The humor, yes, he'd be perfect.
Humor, and just these little things that he does daily that are just... I mean, I've never laughed more with an actor than I think I have with him, And I kept saying to him, why have you never been on Saturday Night Live? And he just kind of looked at me like, I don't know. And I said, well, you know, if Betty White can do it, then we should do it. And so I started a fan page for him on Facebook. And lo and behold, I had no idea, but there were like two or three other ones. That, you know.
So everybody trying, yeah.
Everybody, yeah, but, you know.
Do it again.
It's hilarious because, you know, Nathan comes up with these little, like, things in his head, and then he would write them down in his iPhone, and I just keep hoping, you know.
He'll get invited.
That he will get invited, you know. I don't know the ins and outs of SNL, and I don't know how it works where, you know, you get to be a guest host, but... I have faith, and I know that his fans are also, I think, would, you know, be very excited if he was ever able to do it. So I look forward to that day. And he knows that if he does, then he's bringing me with him.
Well, I also saw that you were there when he did Jimmy Kimmel Live not too long ago because you took a picture with him on Twitter when you just joined Twitter.
And I am wearing my Jimmy Kimmel Live sweatshirt as we speak because I was cold when I sat down here to talk to you. And that's the best thing is that, after having to leave Castle, you know, at Christmas, not being able to work with him would have been a really difficult thing for me. And I appreciate so much that, you know, he allows me to come back and do his PR and you know, photos and anything that, you know, he gets to do, which is so rare because he works all the time. So
yeah.
When I do get to spend time with him, it's very special.
So with your makeup and stuff, did you often do public appearances with, say, Donna or Nathan or John or anybody or Molly off of Castle and help them, like, have an appearance for an award show or something?
Oh,
or
absolutely.
Party?
Absolutely. The first season, I'm trying to think, did I do Donna for any? I think I did.
I know Sal and Lori and all them. Yeah, there was some award show that I went to.
I do Nathan for all the award shows, and then Molly, I've done a couple of times for different things. And she just did a movie.
Yes, quite a couple of them, and then she does Winx, that animation series.
Yes.
So do you still get to do their makeup on the side, or do anybody?
I do.
That's
I
great.
Do. And in fact, Molly and her mom were with me, and we had a nice little birthday dinner at one of my favorite sushi places for me recently. So
great.
That was lovely. And, you know, Tamala, who's amazing. You know, I miss her terribly, and I don't get to see her enough. So all I get to do is follow her on Twitter. So
we saw her last month, all of them at the Bailey, and then on the set. Yeah, it was
yeah.
Fun.
I was so sad I wasn't home. I wasn't back in town to do to go to the Bailey Center, but. I heard it was great, and they had a great time. So
yeah. Well, we want to thank you very much for coming on the show. We've been trying to get you for a long time, and you're so busy and in demand, and it's a lot of fun. I just want to do 5 quick questions with you that I always do with everybody when we end the show.
Okay.
Well, we don't end the show, but we end the interview. It's kind of fun. It's just off the top of your head. What was the last film you saw, last movie?
Oh, hang on.
That you watched.
That I watched or I slept through?
Okay.
It's so sad. I went to go see Hunger Games and I fell asleep.
Oh.
And I love the book. I love the movie. And so I have to go back. But I was so exhausted, I fell asleep.
And did anybody wake you up when it was over, or did they leave you in
there? No, they left me there. It was mortifying.
She's calling from there. I'm scared.
Yeah, but that just shows how tired.
Well, were you
I was.
With people or by yourself?
It was one of the best sleeps I.
That's funny. Were you with somebody, or did they just let you sleep
no,
and
I
left?
No, I was
or?
With somebody, but I told them. I said, I am so tired. I'm afraid I'll fall asleep. And lo and behold, I did.
And they loved you.
But I went to a movie that I just saw recently with my friend Jean, and now I'm blanking on what it was, but it was really good.
Sorry. Last book you read. Probably a
last
script.
Last book I read was Hunger Games.
Okay. Last food you ate.
Last food I ate was sushi.
Last song you sang. Or listened to.
Fireworks? Yeah.
Katy Perry. Mm-hmm. Okay. And biggest pet peeve. Do you have a pet peeve?
Wow. Probably people talking on their cell phones too loud in a public place.
Oh, I hear you, man.
Thank you.
I don't want to know your business. Just, you know, go walk off somewhere else and go talk privately, you know.
I never keep mine on when I'm out anywhere.
Yeah,
a
tough one.
It is, but it's great to have you on the show. I want to thank you so much for your time and your patience and answering all the questions. We had a lot of I had a lot of questions I didn't even ask you because I could go on forever with interviews. But
sorry, my brain is so dead.
Did
this
great.
This is the first time I could actually relax and, you know, I'm like,
you didn't fall asleep.
I can't think.
Well, a whole bunch of people raised their hand when I said it was the last question. So now these people are like, I want to ask it. But they said they will tweet you. So
please.
Yeah. Oh, and
absolutely.
You're at your website. Do you want to say it one more time? Do you know it by heart? Do you know your website?
Yeah. Thank God I do know that. It's www.debbiezollermakeup.com.
And your Twitter is at
Debbie Zoller
1.
Is Debbie Zoller 1.
Because
right.
somebody else has your Twitter name. I
what?
Saw that. There's another person that's just Debbie Zoller out there. And then there's Debbie Zoller 1.
You're
yeah, there's
kidding.
Some girl. There's a lady. And she also does something with makeup and things. And I thought it was you at first when I started following you about a month ago. And it's another person. It's
wonder
not you,
getting
of course.
My paychecks.
They do something. But okay, so we want to thank you so much, and I'll send you this interview link.
Okay.
I'll email it to you, and say hello to Salvador for us, and
I
if you
will.
See Nathan and everybody, tell them.